Board meeting adjourned September meeting for Wednesday, March 18th, 2020, 9 a.m. to order. May I have a roll call?
Ms. Sussage?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Gangler?
Here.
Mr. Giles? Ms. Gilmore? Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Ms. Vickers?
Okay.
Is she here?
She's unmuted right now.
Ms. Vickers?
Muted? No, she just unmuted right now.
Ms. Vickers?
Hello?
Robin?
Yeah, I saw that.
So she's here?
She hasn't seen it.
She is. Well, we have a quorum. We'll identify Ms. Vickers when she's able to comment. With the quorum being present, could anyone else who's on the phone please identify themselves?
Dwight Beer, Kendall County Sheriff.
Morning, Sheriff.
Matt Osselmeyer, PBZ.
Jill Furco, Kendall County Treasurer.
Matt, Jill, Dwight, who else?
Robin Vickers, can you hear me now?
Welcome, Robin.
Yes, we can.
The record show Robin Vickers is here.
Levi Gotti from the coroner's office.
Is that it? Frank Kloss, I see your name on there.
They have to make sure they're unmuted.
Yeah.
You're muted, Fran, if you're trying to talk.
All right, so I have Matt Osselmeyer, Jill Furco, Dwight Baird, Levi Gowdy, and Fran Kloss. Anybody else that has not identified themselves?
Hello, Scott.
Is that Judy?
Yeah.
All right, for the record, Ms. Gilmore is also present. All right. With the quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by
Mr. I retract my second.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to pull item 11B4 as it is not essential, and 11B1 as that petition has been pulled.
I will second that.
And then also 5A.
Thank you. Motion to approve the agenda as amended by Prochaska.
So moved.
Seconded by Kellogg. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I also wanted to just mention for those that are on the call that in the room we have Leslie Johnson, Assistant State's Attorney, Vice Chair Amy Sussage, Member Matthew Prochaska, Member Matt Kellogg, Clerk Debbie Gillette, Administrator Scott Keppel, and then EMA Director Joe Gillespie, Dave Gurris from Forest Preserve, and then several citizens and press. Is there any public comment? And you will have 5 minutes. Please speak loudly from your place and say your name for the record.
I took my temperature before I came here, so I was 96.7, so I think I'm not shedding, I guess is the term. I had questions and something that you don't have to answer right now, but there's some concerns about the testing, and the question was, does the county actually have tests, and do we have enough supplies for the health department? Sooner or later, they're going to be blocking and tackling when we come out of this shutdown. So it's important that our citizens know that the tests are available, and we'll be able to get more if we need them. And the health department has the supplies they need to do their job. We may be going to a shelter-in-place lockdown. That's the case. I'm citing a law that's a new township law that went into effect in January 1st for township food pantries. The county under township organization, it's a 305 ILCS 5/9/15. The township may provide for monies received and collected for public aid to all persons eligible, therefore, under Article 6 of the Code, funds and administer programs for providing in-kind aid and meeting basic maintenance requirements, including but not limited to food, paper goods, toiletry, and clothing to persons who are poor, indigent, homeless, in need of immediate assistance, in addition to financial aid provided under this code. The key words in this thing are in need of immediate assistance. There will be seniors in this county who may need to be sheltered in place, may need to be protected, and they may need immediate assistance. And Township Supervisor Leclerc in Oswego is already kind of priming the pump with the September County Food Pantry. He gave them $5,000 over the weekend.
Scott, sorry to interrupt. This is Tony Giles joining the meeting. My apologies.
Thanks, Tony. Maybe a couple extra minutes there, or seconds.
I can reserve my time.
Yeah. Sorry.
He did that over there. They provided 200 bags of meals for like a week for the seniors that were getting their meals over there at the Oswego Senior Center. It actually was out in front of these emergency decrees that were being done by the governor, and that food was being distributed on Monday. So everybody pays property taxes towards this general assistance, and that funding is available in each township. And the supervisors have the authority to write checks. So I would encourage you to reach out to them and have them write checks. Greg Whitetech over at the food pantry has an EMA background like Joe does. And so, there's a lot of us citizens who will be willing to deliver those meals. We just need to be asked and coordinated. So we can all get through this. We can do it together. We just need a little leadership, and that's what I'm asking for. So my wife was an election judge yesterday in Fox Township, and there was a few election judges that didn't show up, but they were able to handle it, and the normal workload that they usually see was down, but she did say that she felt safe, and Debbie had the wipes, and they were wiping things down, and they did the best they could, and they felt that you were well prepared for the election.
Thank you.
Okay. That said, last night I was looking at the Facebook page, and it's not something I'm saying happened or not, but I'm just curious about, so I'm not sure if it's valid, but I seen on a Facebook page, Jim has a copy of it, I sent him, scanned it and sent it to him, that one or both of the public questions in Oswego Township at some precincts may have not been printed on the back of the ballot. I'm not sure if that's valid or not. It's something that Robin's mentioned in that thread, so she may know more about that. I don't know if she's brought it to your attention or not, but it was something that I wanted to ask about. Other than that, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Kellogg. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to do a roll call because of bills.
Ms. Sussich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yep.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes, motion carries. Thank you. Yes, Ms. Sussich.
Can you sort of briefly just say kind of what you're doing and how, why we're at this point?
Never allowed to. Access.
Yeah.
Also, I think maybe Member Gilmore may have phone and computer or something because we are getting a little feedback from her end. I don't know, but maybe, or even at least have people, before everybody answers at once, sort of give a few seconds before, so people not all talking about each other.
Sure. So welcome to the new normal for at least the near future. The governor issued a executive order on earlier this week, allowing for the remote attendance of participants in public meetings under the Open Meetings Act. It's in accordance with the governor's executive order 2020-07. And so Judy and I are encouraging social distancing by allowing the remote attendance to both of our meetings this morning. And the in order to do it this way, we are only allowed to discuss vital matters that are vital to the operation of the meeting. So that's why Member Prochaska at the beginning removed the proclamation for Kendall Area Transit Day. It's important. It's something that we want to celebrate, but it's not vital to the continuing operations of the county. There's a petition that was removed, but then there's another one that that Member Prochaska removed related to the county's code and sending a resolution to Springfield. And we know that the General Assembly is not present, so that also we felt was not vital. And so for the safety of staff, for the safety of each other, we are encouraging the remote attendance by phone. And we intend to postpone any business that can be to a later date for the near future. And we're trying not to, the intent is not to create any kind of panic among our residents or our county. But to flatten the curve, to make sure that those that are most vulnerable in our community stay safe, and to not be carriers that can pass this this illness on to others. There are many people that are healthy, seemingly healthy, that can be carriers, and it's hard for us to know who that is in the community. And so there have been, as we've all seen, many difficult decisions that leaders are making over the last couple of weeks. And some of us may agree or disagree with it, but the fact is this is where we're heading and what we're trying to do to keep, our community safe. To the, we don't typically address comments from the public during the public comment but to that end, we've received a lot of different calls from concerned community members, and we're seeing a lot of great things that members of our community are doing. There's from social media has been a big platform to, get help out to people. There are members of this board that have, been really big and active in trying to help create, these care packages and different things as well. And the Oswego Township, the Oswego Senior Center, I know has been very involved. Spoke with the food pantry, and they're very confident in where they are at right now, that they'll be able to handle the needs of the community. However, the county stands ready to help if we need to. That's part of the emergency declaration that we're going to talk about today, is just having resources available so that we can plan for the worst case scenario, I guess. And that's our role, is to make sure that we're ready for that scenario. And we're not there yet. We've been really fortunate, I think. But as you see day by day, there are new cases around the country, around the world. We need to be ready for that. I know we'll have Joe Gillespie, our EMA director, will talk a little bit later in more detail about some of the responses. Amal Tokars, our director of public health, who I've been in constant contact with over the last month, is planning on calling in, and I don't think she's on the phone yet. Have you seen her calling? I know she was very busy this morning. There were a couple of calls with the state that she was on, but she'll update us as well. But this is a really unique time for us. You see that we've kind of those that are here, and see Jim taking pictures, so some people will see this, that we've reconfigured the boardroom even so that we can, and limited people who have come to this boardroom so that we can, help with social distancing and do our part here. We're going to take more steps in the days ahead now that the election is behind us. There wasn't a lot that we could do with the constant flow of people coming through the building for the election. But I do plan on, we plan on sort of tightening it up a little bit around here. And so to that end, I was going to wait until the chairman's report, but as long as you kind of brought it up. No, that's all right. I know it's on everybody's mind. So I do want to just go through some of the responses and the actions that we've taken. Scott Keppel and I have been pretty much round the clock discussions with people around the county since Saturday is when it really started to take a turn to another level. And we realized at one point that things were happening so fast that, we probably weren't updating everyone, or, you know, you have so many conversations, you don't remember who knows what and who you said what to. So, you know, we wanted to take a minute and talk about a few of the things that we have done and that you have seen. And there's much more that many more discussions that are happening behind the scenes. But, you know, for the time being, on Monday, you know, I issued the disaster proclamation as allowed under the Emergency Management Act in Illinois at the direction or request of the Emergency Management Director. And I'll let you talk more, Joe, about what that means. But it unlocks the emergency management plan for the county. It allows us to have more access to federal and state funds, among other things, and gives us some more powers, such as we were talking about allowing for remote attendance and different things like that within the county. So beyond that, then we have the disaster proclamation to extend, consistent with the governor's order on the agenda today. Animal control, the part-time staff was sent home for the remainder of this week. IT has begun teleworking, or will be after the election. So is that starting today? Or that starts today. On Saturday, Scott and I were invited to a meeting with the judges, the state's attorney, the circuit clerk, and the public defender to help plan for the courts and what's going on with that. And we've seen the press release as to as far as, you know, how they're scaling back operations. You know, it sounds like they will not have jury trials and things like that, at least to the extent that they can. I mean, justice will continue to be administered. They can't shut it down in its entirety, but they're taking all the steps that they can to limit interaction among people to, you know, prevent the spread. Then on later on Saturday afternoon, also met with Judy, joined as a representative of the Forest Preserve. Met with the treasurer, Jill Furco, Debbie, our county clerk, the assessor, Andy Nicoletti, Fran Kloss, the county engineer, and our state's attorney to discuss options for the county office building as well. And so some of those things that we've done is GIS, for example, are able to work from home. They don't need to be in the office, so we sent them home so that they can work remotely. You know, Latrice Caldwell is the deputy county administrator. She's on vacation, as it turned out this week. We told her to stay home next week as well, just to, which is consistent with, I think, what some of the other departments are doing to try to just maintain, you know, half staff a little bit, so that if something happens to Scott, then Latrice is able to step in. And hopefully she's in an area where she won't have something. We also, Scott and I met with EMRI Director Gillespie Saturday as well to go through our emergency protocols. Scott has undertaken weekly meetings with our, or developed meetings with our local economic development staff, because during this time, as we know, we've seen with restaurants and bars that are no longer open, we need to think about our business community and those that are employed by that business community, who overnight found themselves without employment. Or at least limited employment. One of the things that I do want to plug right here is that I've seen some really neat and creative ideas for the carryout options in our community at restaurants. For example, one Roadhouse in Yorkville, they have a Usual Talent that plays the guitar on Tuesday nights. And so when they had carryout orders last night, they were actually going to, the guitar player was going to go to their homes and play a song on their step. So that was kind of a neat idea. So out of this, you know, there may be some creative and interesting things that can come from it. I'm looking for the positive side, and you know, I encourage people to do that. I've also seen, you know, gift cards have been purchased to give short term, you know, cash flow, and then they can be, you know, provided at a later date when things get back to normal. Our standing committees, I've asked that all of our standing committees through the end of March be canceled. So far, I think everybody has agreed to that. I know all of the zoning meetings have now been canceled as well through the end of the March. The state's attorney's office is helping draft recommended telework procedures as well. So that's in process. We are I've requested a review of whether we can use our economic development revolving loan fund for loans and grants during this emergency as well. I've put the state's attorney to work. I'm glad that they're able to work remotely pretty easily. Although Leslie is sitting right here with us, so yeah. Thank you for that. We also had them review the governor's suspension of OMA so that, as you see, we're here today. And, you know, the non-essential, I think, is the key part of that, or the vital is the key word, vital operations. We have created a COVID-19 webpage on our website. We intend to have updates and any proclamations or any important information that on that page. And we're going to do the same thing on the economic development page. If there are businesses in the community that have different operations or something that they would like us to post, we want to do that so that we can help broadcast, you know, help out our community as much as we can. One quick fix that we took in trying to limit access to our building from the public and without impeding services to the public is just the simple addition of a Dropbox to the front of this building here on Fox Street. You can make your payments for taxes, for which they aren't out until I think the end of April, Jill said, but for taxes, the senior exemptions, things like that, that a lot of people like to come into our building for. We encourage everyone to take advantage of the Dropbox once it's in. And Scott, I don't know what the status is on that.
We're waiting for it to arrive, and then we've got already a masonry contractor that we're using at the animal control project that we're going to leverage to work on this as well.
Are you?
No, I was drying.
Thank you. So we have that. We're going to, today we will be closing the Fox Street door so that we can limit the access to this building as well, so that everybody should be coming in through the parking lot to this building. We had to wait for the election in order to do that. We are, yesterday we spent most of the day reviewing and testing the remote attendance for county boards members, and that's what we're working on today. We proactively called all of those that are interested in special uses so that they knew that we were taking this off the agenda, this specific one, and I don't know if there was anything additional to that. It was just that one.
You know, that was the one that we had a lot of public interest in one specific special use, so we wanted to contact everybody that we possibly could so they wouldn't, you know, if they wanted to be at home, that they could stay at home, they would feel like they didn't need to come make themselves present.
Yeah. And then the PB&Z, Planning, Building, Zoning, is accepting applications, but we are, excuse me, we're talking too much, that's what the problem is.
I'm not sorry.
Yeah, the accepting applications, but we're informing the applicants that the process in public meetings could be delayed. We continue to explore options with respect to the existing EDC loans as to whether we can pause the amortization schedules for up to 2 months. So just to give them a little bit of breathing room, as a couple, at least two of the loans I can think of are for restaurants and or bars. So what we want, would like to be able to do that. And then you would just add on a couple of months at the end of that loan. And then just two quick updates, I guess, as long as I'm going. The work has started at the animal control building. That continues. They felt like it's an isolated area. There's no public or staff that is there, so it's just strictly up to the contractor, and they wanted to continue. Same thing with tree removal for the solar project that began as well, and I think that'll continue. It's outdoors. There's, again, not staff that's at risk. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we have been working on. There are more things that we've been talking about, and you know, the county is open for business, and we want to take care of our residents. That's number one priority, is to make sure that you know, we're protecting our staff, and but also here to be able to provide the necessary services that our public needs. And so you know, the sheriff can't shut down. He is open 24/7. The courts are not shutting down. They are open, but they're just reduced. You know, the county services are not shut down. They are just, we are taking all of our steps that we can to reduce to flatten the curve, I guess, and to reduce exposure to the public. So We're taking it seriously. We're trying to make sure that we're helping out those that are in need. And, you know, I ask residents to do the same thing, to take it seriously, but also look out for those that are in need as well. So I guess that's my update on what we're doing, among other things. And I'm happy to entertain any questions on that right now.
And can they hear us okay?
Yeah. Did you hear all that? All right, and then when I get to the official reports, let's do the new business, and then I'll have Joe, I'll have you talk, and then we'll go through the elected officials. So Sheriff, and is Amal on yet? Can you tell? See if hopefully she'll be on, you know, at that point. All right, new business. May have a approval of a resolution extending the March 16, 2020 proclamation of disaster for Kendall County, Illinois through May 30th, 2020.
So moved.
Motion by Sesich.
Second.
Seconded by Kellogg. Any discussion on this item? Roll call.
Ms. Flowers.
Aye.
Mr. Gangler.
Yes.
Mr. Giles.
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore.
Yeah.
Mr. Greider.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Ms. Vickers.
Yes.
Ms. Sesich.
Yes.
All ayes, motion carries. Thank you. Next up, I have a motion to approve ratification of collective bargaining agreement between Kendall County, Illinois, the Kendall County Sheriff, and the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council patrol deputies, effective December 1, 2019 through November 30th, 2023.
So moved.
Motion by Sesich.
Second.
Seconded by Flowers. This was a lot of hard work, and I thank you for your, you know, all of those, Leslie and Amy, who were involved with this negotiation. And is there any board members that have any comments on this?
Sheriff's office too. I mean, you know, those guys over there really worked hard to work on behalf
and Sheriff
of
as
us
well.
As yeah. well as their employees and Scott, obviously Scott Keppel. It was a definite jointed and united effort, and we obviously appreciate our employees and our deputies, and, you know, as well as being responsible to the taxpayers of this county. So it was, I think everybody feels good all the way around. So, excellent job.
Call questions a question.
Comments on this?
The sheriff.
Oh, sheriff, go ahead.
Yes, I'd especially like to thank Leslie Johnson and Board Member Sesich and County Administrator Keppel. It was a smooth process. I think it went better than last time. I think it's a very fair contract. It really helps me attract quality people to continue to serve the citizens of Kendall County. And again, thanks to Leslie.
Roll call.
Mr. Gangler.
Yes.
Mr. Giles.
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore.
Yes.
Mr. Greider.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Ms. Vickers.
Yes.
Ms. Sesich.
Yes.
Ms. Flowers.
Aye.
All ayes, thank you. All right, elected officials and other department reports. Since I don't have a spot for you, I'll have EMA Director Gillespie, if you wanna update us on what you know. And
good morning, all. To bring everyone up to speed, as we know, obviously this COVID-19 coronavirus is taking the country by storm. I do appreciate everyone enacting their social distancing. Obviously, I want to remind everyone to, if they don't feel well, stay home. That's obviously the most important thing we can do right now to keep this under containment. I want to talk a little bit about, and I wish Dr. Tokars was on the line, but I want to talk a little bit why we're having people stay home, why we're having the bars and restaurants close.
Joe, it's I am on the line.
Oh.
She's here.
She's here.
I'll let Dr. Tokars talk on that then. Our expert on that one. But what is the county EMA doing? County EMA has put a request in with the state. This is going to answer one of the citizen comments. Right now, all first responders have adequate equipment to respond, from what I'm being told. Their stockpile is short. We have asked the IEMA to ask to open up their strategic stockpile, the reserves that are in with the federal government, for N95 masks, gowns, and gloves. That request was put in on Friday. Have not heard anything back yet. I will follow up again once I'm done with this meeting. If those stockpile is let go, obviously they're going to ration that because they have to, obviously. But we'll see what we get out of that. But right now, a report from all people, we're doing okay on those supplies. And so we'll keep moving forward. Obviously, the county has declared a declaration for the disaster. The EOC is open virtually. What that truly means is that I'm monitoring everything through the phone and the computer, trying to stay out of the office. So I've been there quite a bit. And obviously working with all the department heads and the agencies without the county, of course. And then obviously our partners in the municipality as well, trying to keep them up to date. So we are moving forward. And I would entertain any questions from the county board at this time if they have any.
Ms. Sessage.
Joe, so what kind of, coordinated help are you getting from the state?
And that help is going to Dr. Tokars' office every day. Dr. Tokars and her staff have been working diligently with not only her state partners, but her federal partners. And they're on conference calls, and Dr. Tokars has been at meetings every day. She was on a meeting with the state before she entered this call. So we are getting the help that we need, both from our state partners and our federal partners.
Any other questions for Joe? Otherwise, I have Sheriff and then Amal.
I have one.
Pardon?
No.
I have one.
Can you identify yourself?
It's Audra.
All right. Go ahead.
I just was wondering if Joe could please reassure the public about our ability to ramp up for capacity.
Yes. Once again, the whole purpose of doing our social distancing and putting out the public message to wash our hands and stay at home is so that we don't exceed the limits of our local hospitals. If we can spread the force of the spread of this disease from 3 months to 6 months, we can reduce the impact that it would have on our ability to serve all those people. So by the public participating, they will help us help them.
Thanks, Joe.
But can you speak, please, to capacity?
I'm sorry, could you repeat yourself, Ms. Cedrics?
I'm trying to get your statement to reassure the public about our ability to ramp up capacity.
Yes, we do have the ability to ramp up capacity. With speaking with Dr. Tokars and our medical partners, we do have the ability to care for the public. And we will have the ability to care for the public.
And I'll let Dr. Tokars expand on that, you know, when she speaks as well. Sheriff?
Yes, go ahead.
Do you have anything? I'm under the elected official reports. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yes, we have taken extra precautions at the jail. We spoke with our medical and a food provider to make sure we have an adequate amount of food supply chain.
Sheriff, could I ask you to speak a little bit louder?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Yes.
As far as the jail goes, we've spoken with our medical and food providers to make sure that we have their services will continue uninterrupted. We've changed some of our intake and screening procedures with the recommendation of our health department and our medical provider within the jail. We've limited access to the jail from non-essential outside services. We suspended all the services. We've also suspended rec, but we are still within the guidelines of the jail standards. As far as the operations side, the patrol side, we have masks for our staff if needed. We have personal protective equipment on hand. And the eviction and share sales have been suspended until we've canceled the next two share sales and suspended evictions for now. And we will reevaluate as this situation progresses.
Thank you, Sheriff.
And we are still providing all services. So if you call 911 or you need something, we will providing service. Some of our calls that we don't have to go to the house or go to a residence, we will be doing by phone.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thanks for reassuring, you know, as to that as well.
Of course.
And for those in the room, I don't know if everybody heard what the sheriff just said, but the evictions have been suspended, as well as the two scheduled sheriff sales have been canceled for the near term. Go ahead, Sheriff. I know you're wanting to add something else.
Yes. One other thing, if any of the board members ever have a question, they all have my cell number. Please do not hesitate to contact me. Myself and the other police chiefs have been on several conference calls. Also with some fire chiefs. I know there's communication going back and forth. So, but if you ever have any questions, don't wait to call. Just call when you have it, and we'll make sure that you can answer any questions that are being asked of you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amal?
I will be jumping off now.
Okay. Thanks for joining, Sheriff.
You bet.
Okay. Good morning. I have a number of things that I want to tell you about. Can you hear me?
Well, we can, but if you could speak as loud as you possibly can, that would be helpful.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
That's better.
All right. So first, we have our first case in Kendall County. We will be putting a public service announcement out later today, but what I want to let you know is this is a woman in her 60s, and she is in self-isolation with her family. We are going to be in touch with her to be sure that she is recovering, and she is recovering at home, we are happy to say, to see what her needs are and to see that she is getting better. So we will be expecting more cases, and I want to also give you...
Amal, can I interrupt you for just a second? Those that are not speaking, that are on the phone, if you could mute your phones for the time being, that would be really helpful. Because the background noise is being picked up a little bit.
Okay.
Go ahead, Amal. Thank you.
One other thing that I want to say is that we do not know of any travel history. So we will be seeing more and more cases that might be picked up in the community. That is what we are tending to see. Those are the kinds of information that we are permitted to release in a public service announcement. And I want to make sure that this family is afforded all the dignity and help that they need. Now, I want to give some other very important information about what is going on with coronavirus now. There are approximately 82,000 individuals that are indicated as recovered in the world, over 8,000 deaths as of today in the world, and over 204,000 cases in the world. China continuing to lead with those cases overall. These are included the recovered cases at 81,000. Italy at approximately 32,000. Iran at approximately 17,000. Spain at approximately 14,000. Germany at approximately 10,000. South Korea at approximately 8,000. France at approximately 8,000. And the United States approaching 7,000. Illinois has well over 100 cases at this time, from the top of the state to the bottom of the state. And so we will see in the next few days this happening in the remainder of our counties, very likely. The most important information that I can give you on the trending data at this time is over the weekend, we saw the Chinese rates for the first time leveling off. This is very, very important news for all of us because we hope to see that for our rates. The recovery rates are continuing to climb, and the other countries' rates of confirmed cases are climbing very quickly. And of course, the epi curve of these other countries started later than China, so our epi curve will move at a later time. We want to mitigate that epi curve as much as possible. So when Director Gillespie was talking about social distancing, in the same way that with the opioid crisis and with the suicide crisis, we would not want that epi curve to just take its natural course. We want to interrupt it. We want to help flatten that out. And we eventually want it to take a nosedive. Before this gets better, we will see many more cases. And then it will get better. But we have to really presume for all of us that when we are out and about, we should not think, well, there is just one case. We should think everywhere we go that we can be exposed, and that's why standing back from a cashier and giving them space, making sure that we're washing our hands as soon as we go home, not going to places that we don't need to go, and not even going into small crowds at this time. So we really want to take that into consideration. In talking over the last several weeks with many community partners, our schools, our faith-based organizations, many individuals are doing all kinds of things to really abide by what is needed at this time, and it's very hard. And there are many consequences on all of us by needing to do those things. We, when the governor gave directive for these large groups not to gather, churches, our community churches immediately responded by making very significant adjustments so that they could continue serving the community and make others safe. When the governor announced that restaurants will not serve in-house, remember that does not mean that restaurants need to close. So our staff began calling restaurants first thing Monday morning. We want to know which ones are choosing to do carryout, which ones are choosing to do home delivery, and we know which ones are doing drive-through. We want to support them and give them the best sanitation instructions for doing that. And then we want to collect that information, and I've talked with Matthew and Megan are going to assist with us getting that information on a map so community members can know where they can call into for delivery or where they can call to do a pickup to support those businesses helping keeping people well and helping these services that will be really needed for the community. I also want to thank Chairman Grider and Director Gillespie and many of you, but Chairman Grider and Director Gillespie for your genuine interest and support all along the way since the beginning of February when this began. That's what I want to say for now. I want to welcome any questions that I'm able to answer for you.
This is Robin. Can I ask one?
Sure, Robin.
I was wondering all of a sudden everything's chiming in the background. When you suspect a case, what's the process? You get a doctor's office notifies you they tested and it was positive. What's that first process? Once you know there's a positive, what's the process you have to go through before you report it to the state and announce it to the public?
Sure. So this is a case that we just got a call after hours from a hospital. So that's the first that we knew. And so our first line is to protect that individual and the people around them and to make sure that they know. So that's our first emphasis is for that person and their family and to secure a solid self-isolation. So that has been done. And then we go ahead and let KenCom know the address in case a dispatcher, if that person has emergency medical help or other emergency at that house. So if there's ever a dispatch, whoever the first responders would know that they have to wear PPE to go to that house. Okay. And the police chief and fire chief have the address in case they need it for first responders. And so we are working with the family and the state and their medical provider to help get them well and see what other needs they have.
So how long does it take, will it take, I guess since we have our first case, from you getting that call till it's notified the state and the public that we actually have a person with been diagnosed with it?
It depends on what the family's needs are and what the complications are and how long it takes things to get settled with them. And then as soon as things get settled with them, then we can release that. The piece that you might be asking is how long did that process take from the beginning? I do not know because I just know as soon as I get that call because we are not testers.
Right. I guess I'm just thinking about other counties that have been announcing. So we've announced one and theoretically every county could potentially be spending days getting people in get the things they need before it's made public that we have cases. Is that correct? If it takes a while?
Well, the person has to know before we announce it publicly. That doesn't mean that we've finished addressing everything that they need. We still are going to be in an ongoing process. But they need to know before the public knows, of course, that they have a positive.
Absolutely, yeah.
So and that doesn't take very long.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're not delaying reporting to the public as more cases are happening too long, because I think people should know, you know, where it's at, and partly because it will help reinforce people to not go out. And so as bad as it is to, we don't want anyone to have it, but we know they do. So by knowing it's in the community, people are more likely to follow the directions to stay home.
Yes, and also to that point, Robin, we have to think beyond the boundaries of our community because all of us go in and out, and so do others. And we really have to think about, again, assuming we don't want to be afraid of people. There's nothing wrong with helping a neighbor and bringing something to somebody's front door, especially neighbors that have needs now. But we do need to almost take a universal precautions approach, thinking that every place we go, there's potential of somebody having exposure, and there is potential of our exposure. And that's why that social distancing is so important.
Oh, absolutely. I have just seen a lot of evidence that people are saying that, oh, it's not here, so they don't need to worry about it. So unfortunately, I think we're going to need to report cases as quickly as possible so that it will make the people who are doubting it, that it's here, understand that it is, so they do start paying attention better.
That's such a good point. And in speaking with some of our staff before we knew that we had a case, just yesterday I was saying to the staff, if you have in your mind that you're waiting for it to break, don't, because look at this data. It broke, and it is all around us. And,
absolutely.
And that's the way that we have to think about it.
Okay,
thank
you.
Thank you, Robin. What other questions can I answer for you this morning?
It's Audra. I have some questions.
Go ahead, Audra.
Towards that end, like when I hear that you got notification from an emergency room, I get disappointed because I want to know. I'm hoping that we can please. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Audra. There's a little static, but I can hear you.
I'm hoping. Can we please reiterate, and maybe the press will pick this up and really stress, we need everybody to call, not go to, call your healthcare provider and tell them that you suspect you might have COVID, but not to just show up, because we need our healthcare staff to remain uninfected. And when you show up, you create a problem in that way. And the other thing I wanted to mention was in regards to the speed, I agree with Robin because I too am hearing that. I've been going around my neighborhood. We have a lot of people here who are health-wise very, very vulnerable. So I've been checking in on them. And I think it's going to be important for us to continue to communicate really actively and through as many means as possible. And here I would ask the press to please really be on it.
Amal?
Okay. Yeah, I think, can I say one thing to what Audra's saying too? Because
yeah,
I probably should have emphasized that, to remember for anybody that thinks that they've been exposed or is sick, please call ahead to your healthcare provider. That is correct. Do not show up. Please call ahead to your healthcare provider, because they may decide to screen you over the phone before having you come in, and they may send you to the hospital with an N95, but follow that instruction. Do not just show up. Okay, Scott, go ahead.
Thank you. One of the things that you just mentioned was to drop things off at a doorstep, and there are a lot of well-meaning people out there, you know, trying to do different things for those that may be in need or high risk in our community. What are ways that people can do that safely so that they aren't, you know, the unintended consequence, you know, could be that they transmit the illness to somebody inadvertently. One of the things is dropping it off on the doorstep, but what other steps can they take?
Let's say that you had a delivery at your house, so that 6-foot distance, you're not going to have the person come in your house, and you're going to maintain 6-foot distance, but you can also just have them drop it off before and go to their car before you even open your front door. And that's the safest thing, and that's the same way that you can help others. You can put something on their doorstep and call them and tell them that it's on their doorstep, and the door doesn't even have to open. You can have that barrier there. So you always want to have that 6-foot distance, but you don't even have to have the door open to help people and receive help.
Thank you. Ms. Sessage?
Amal, thank you for being here today. Can you address some of the, the ideas of what flattening the curve really is?
Sure.
In terms of people could be walking around with the virus, and because we do not have the ability to test every human being, that this is the reason why we're asking people to stay home, because you may not even show any signs of being sick or anything and still be spreading it to those then that are the most vulnerable. Can we just, I know we've said it a few times, but maybe reiterate.
No, I appreciate that. And in truth, we don't know everything about that, but what you said is all correct, Amy. So we know that people that are sick, actively ill, are most likely to be the ones to shed the virus. But there is also the possibility of people being asymptomatic as well and being spreading that. It's not considered a primary way of spreading it, but we don't know yet. There'll be a lot more understanding of this in retrospect. And you see this increase in these community-acquired cases and people not sure how they got it. So we will understand much more in retrospect, but that social distancing and really being careful. So if a county has one case or 20 cases or 30 cases, we may feel we're not likely to come across those people. That's not the way that we should be thinking about it. We should be thinking about it in terms of we could be coming across it and not even knowing it. So really keeping that distance as much as possible is really going to be increasingly important, and I think people are going to become even more aware of it. And it really goes well with the question that Chairman Greider asked, because if you're dropping something at somebody's front door, keep that distance and maybe leave that door closed and call them and tell them it's there. Did I answer your question about that, Amy? Because I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you. We had the governor held a press conference yesterday. We've had one death so far due to the COVID virus. And what was said, I believe, by the doctor that was speaking to it, was that the woman that passed away was in contact, that somebody else and her family was in contact. So it's, I think it's just really vitally important to know that that person obviously went to go visit their loved one in this nursing facility, did not know they were sick, and then now 22 people plus staff are now infected in that whole entire building. And then those 22 people have now been exposed to another 22 people and so on and so forth. So I think that's why we keep talking about social distancing, and I know people were upset about closing bars and restaurants and things like that, but this is how we are going to, in a sense, flatten the curve so that not everyone is desperately sick all at the same time. That people will still be getting sick, of course, but that it's not going to inundate the hospitals to a point where we cannot take care of the most vitally sick. So I think that's what I was really trying to make sure we get across and make sure that that's an important known fact to get out to the public as well.
That is correct. And along with that, Amy, a special understanding of the new policies that nursing homes must put in place to protect the people there. Those cases are acquired from the outside and they have to stay there. So we really want to be especially careful. And so the nursing homes are all to have new policies on visitation, which either greatly limit or block visitation, and that is to protect the individuals that live there.
Thank you, Amal.
Thank you, Amy.
Any other questions for Amal?
Tony?
It's Liz. I have one.
Go ahead, Tony. I heard you first, and then Liz.
Okay.
No, just a couple things. One thing that Amy said reminded me with the senior areas of living. There's a good bit on the Chicago News where they're out at the one in Oswego at the Pillars and showing the visitation through the glass, which wasn't ideal, but still, you know, that effective way. So it's difficult, you know, there are still ways that we can still communicate with those even to prevent the elderly from contracting. But then also I just wanted to say we had our health department meeting last night, and I was very impressed as always with not only everything the health department's doing, but especially with Dr. Tokars and her staff and where they are with this and getting that information and handling of it, in addition to all the other things that they have to do on a normal daily basis. So I felt very comfortable after the meeting, knowing that we're in the health department's in great hands with Dr. Tokars leading the way there with how we're addressing it from a health department perspective. So I just wanted to mention
Tony,
that.
Tony, that's very kind. But you know what? We are in one another's hands, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of us has to try the best we can to do these things. Be patient when we're at the store. Stand away from people at the shelf and give them room. Stand away from the cashier. Put a cart in front of you in line if you only have a couple things so that you can help promote that space. Each of us has to think about this and every step that we take, and we are going to continue to evolve in how intelligent we get about it and how careful we get about it. And 5 days from now, we're going to think of more things that we need to do that we didn't think about yet, even if we've not been directed to. So, Tony, thank you for those kind words. It will be all of every single one of us.
Liz?
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Community's doing a good job.
Thank you. I have something.
I also wanted to say thank you very much, Dr. Tokars, for all of your hard work on this. You guys are doing a splendid job at the health department. I wanted to ask specifically about testing and our capability for testing in Kent County.
Okay. We are waiting to be notified more about that. You've heard the governor talk about it, so we're just waiting to hear about that. At this time, all of the testing is done at hospitals. We are hearing that others may be doing tests in the near future, so we are waiting to hear from that as you are. So at this time, all the testing is going on at hospitals. The okay. screening, which comes before the testing, is done by healthcare providers, and also the health department is doing much screening. Okay, and that's done. That's why we're saying that that's done over the telephone. And then the lab, which is the final version, is right now being done at state labs. And then we are waiting to hear more about private labs coming on board. I mean, we will need those private labs to come on board in order to handle the capacity that we are already starting to see in Illinois.
Okay, and we have the capability to handle the amount, I mean, to handle the load that we might see?
When you say we, do you mean Illinois?
Our area, yeah.
Well, the health department is definitely very stretched. We are very stretched at this time in our screening. But we have made modifications to help with that, and Chairman Greider has really helped with that as well. But in terms of Illinois needing more testing, we will need that, and okay. we will need more private labs. So we understand that that's going to be coming on board. We're waiting to hear more about that.
Okay. So
everybody will be stretched for sure. It does help. It is considered a necessary fundamental form of mitigation.
Thank you very much, Dr. Chokars.
Thank you so much for the question, Elizabeth.
Audra?
I just have one last thing, and I can send this to Dr. Tokars or the press, although I'm sure it's easy to find everywhere. And that is that I've been finding on social media, people are discussing ways to sanitize and disinfect their homes at home using concoctions that are actually really deadly, like mixing ammonia with bleach and hydrogen peroxide with vinegar. And I was just wondering, this is the thing I wanted to mention earlier and blanked out on. I was thinking it would be really a good idea for us to get that information out there, because I know from trolling the social media on this that people in our area are actually starting to use what are literally deadly combinations of cleaners because they haven't been able to get what they need at the store. And then I would also ask for people to really grok the idea that you don't need to go and buy out the entire bread section at the store. The grocery supply chain is fine, and all you succeed in doing when you hoard is endangering other people who actually need it. I ended up buying toilet paper for some people in line at the store the other day because of the limit they were on, and they had just come back from vacation, so they had eaten out the whole house and left with very little supplies in the house. And then they go to the grocery store and they can't even get what they need because people are panic buying, and it's just unnecessary. So if we could make sure we get the message out about please don't use these dangerous combinations of cleaners and what they are, and please, 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 the grocery supply chain is solid and you don't need to hoard it. All you're doing is injuring other people who genuinely need supplies.
Those are both very very important things. So there is enough, we are told there is enough food in Illinois, and shelves will be restocked, and people should take care not to have to go to every store. We want people to be able to go directly to the store they need to and be able to get home. So people should know that Illinois is not having a food shortage at this time. The other piece about disinfecting, Audra, is very important. People should not be using too much bleach or necessarily mixing things, which you can harm your lungs doing that. So one of the things I'm thinking as we prepare this public service announcement today, I think we will put something in there about disinfecting that will be helpful to people. So thank you so much for bringing that up.
Thank you. Any other questions before Amal gets back to
I do have another call that I need to hop on to.
Yeah, I know you have quite a bit. All right, thank you, Amal, for being part of this. And obviously, we'll be in touch as we have been. And thanks for all you're doing.
Okay, thank you so kindly. Have a good day now.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Aye. All right, County Clerk and Recorder, what's going on with you?
I'm awake. No, we will be going to half staff. Those that can work from home will work from home. Ideally, starting on Monday, we do have some things to wrap up from yesterday's election, so if we can have as many people here as we can to try to get that stuff wrapped up right away, take advantage of, encourage the citizens to take advantage of the new drop box outside the building. And any requests that they have can be submitted by mail. There will be somebody here. It just will be a half staff. Call ahead if necessary. If you need to come in, make an appointment just to make sure that we know you're coming. That's also very helpful. I'd like to commend the election judges and the staff for all the work that they did yesterday. We did have 95 judges cancel within the span of 2 to 3 days. So those that showed up did a great job. It did take us a while to get the results back. A lot of our seasoned judges did choose to stay home for, you know, for obvious reasons. Good for them. But we were able to get it done. Very happy with the way things went yesterday. We did send disinfecting spray, wipes, gloves, extra pens, all the precautions that we could think of and get a hold of in time. To send out to the precincts. There was a notice for the voters on what to do.
Listening, so that's why I sat back here because I had to say something.
Jim, can you mute yourself, please?
We did send a notice that was that the judges could put out to, you know, tell the voters to stand, you know, social distance and when they're standing in line and whatnot, and instructions to the judges to use the cleaning supplies on all the surfaces and the pens.
Okay.
I can't hear Debbie anymore.
I can't either.
Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And just, we did get a lot of calls yesterday on why the county did not cancel the election. The county did not have an option to cancel the election. A lot of people were upset with us because they thought we shouldn't have been open yesterday, but we didn't have a choice. Just wanted to make that clear.
It wasn't a county decision.
It was not a county decision. And I think that's all. If anybody has any questions for me, sure.
Debbie, so this is a primary in a presidential year.
Mm-hmm.
What was the percentage of how much we were down from, say, 2016's presidential? Do you know? I know that it was significantly less, but do we know for sure?
I left here at 11 o'clock last night.
You don't know.
Sorry, I've not had time to, like, calculate any numbers, so whatever's on the website.
Yeah.
I believe we were at 30% in 2016. I honestly don't know what we were yesterday.
From what 30. You saw, though, is much less than other previous presidential primaries.
I thought.
This is Robin. I looked it up. It was 46 in 2016 and 30 last night.
Okay.
Oh, 46%?
In 2016?
Yes.
So we can kind of, you know, maybe wonder a little bit that it was due to the virus. I think people being worried, which I think is fair to say. So unfortunately, we were not able to cancel. And I was, you know, I even thought, you know, as for the governor, you know, why didn't we? But he did explain it pretty well yesterday in his press conference. So. I felt a lot better that, you know, at least those discussions had been had. So, you know, but it's scary when we're talking about social distancing and not going out, and then yet democracy has to prevail. So,
and, you know, and maybe now is a good time for people to take advantage of the early voting. We are open 40 days before the election. We do vote by mails. You don't have to have an excuse for the ballot to be sent to your home. There are other options to take if you don't know what's going to happen on election day. feel if you're going to be home or whatnot. So we do offer those services. We were open on Monday before the election, and we did vote 553 people in one day.
Wow.
So, you know, we are here Saturday, Sunday, Monday before the election. So
thank you.
There are lots of choices.
Thank you for all of your hard work and everybody that helped you out and all the judges that came and allowed for this to go on. And it really is a bit of a head scratcher as to why it would continue like this when you see it, everything else being postponed, particularly in a primary where you don't have an immediate result, such as we will in November. Thank you to all that did it and everybody that came out and exercised your right to vote. It is important. And, you know, the elections, as they say, do have consequences. So it's important to have your voice heard. So thanks, Debbie. Any sense on the recording side of things? Is it continuing as usual?
Yeah, we will be able to continue as usual. We should have half staff be able to work from home, and the other half that would be able to get documents ready so that they can be fully processed with those that are going to be able to stay at home.
Great. Treasurer, Jill, are you still on?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Sound good?
Okay. Just a couple of things. You do have my report in your packet. We too will be going on a modified schedule as well, at least next couple of weeks or so, which right now is doable in our office. Once May hits, the end of April, that kind of time frame, we will obviously have to be addressing some other issues at that time as we prepare for the tax bills to go out. So that's really, I believe they are wrapping up the audit this week, so at some point in time we will be trying to figure out when and where for them to present that information to us. So that's all I have.
Thanks, Jill. Any questions for Jill? All right. I know that we'll be watching the sales tax, you know, as how that comes in, you know, as well. I'm guessing that'll go down pretty significantly for the
NFT.
Short term. Right. Yeah, exactly. Clerk of the court, state's attorney.
State's attorney's office is still open for business. We are still here and available to assist the county and all of their residents with the services that the state's attorney's office has provided and will continue to provide. I do ask for the board members. I know that you are not meeting with your committees. Normally, we ask that requests for legal review go through committee first. If you don't have a committee meeting, I would ask that you talk with the chairman of the board and the county administrator before you send a new request for legal review over to us right now, just because we are very, very busy in trying to respond to the emergencies and making sure that we prioritize work with the chairman and the county administrator on prioritizing legal opinions so that we can get them out to everybody in the order of priority as needed. So, but if the board has any questions for us, we're happy to answer those.
Anything for state's attorney? Thanks, Leslie. Coroner.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, I'm here with Jackie. We're just having some technical issues with the teams.
For the record,
like right now we are Jackie. Oh, yeah, sorry. We are reviewing some of our internal operations at this point in time to see what modifications we can do to kind of protect our staff since we do have a smaller office. We're throwing around a couple different things, but ultimately our goal is to still provide all of our outbound services as we have in the past, just kind of moving possibly to a little bit more by appointment only in the office to limit our exposure to outside parties. And then obviously between the few of us that are full-time here, kind of switching off when we're physically in the office versus telework, so we don't have a lot of contact with each other to minimize any kind of issues with interruptions or continuity of operations.
Great. Any questions for the coroner? Thanks, Levi and Jackie. Health department, we already had. Andy, are you on? Supervisor of assessments? Yeah. Okay. Standing committee reports, facilities, Mr. Kellogg.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion for approval of the assignment of lease between Kendall County Green Solar 01 LLC and Union Bank and Trust Company.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sesich.
And just real quick, number one and number two on those are something that came about. Green's banking group requested some changes. Initially, if Green had failed or had quit using the facility, it went to us directly, and this puts the bank in between, as it should be. Some have asked why it happened now instead of the beginning. Part of that's, you know, Green didn't have the banking in place until they knew the project was a go. So it's a pretty simple request. So
any questions on this?
Is this message? I know we talked about this facilities. We didn't need the state's attorney's office to look at it, or did we already?
The state's attorney's office reviewed this. Jim Webb turned around quickly, and everybody on the other side accepted the modifications that were requested by the state's attorney's office.
Did that come from our email? Because I had several legal opinions, and I was trying to look through them, and I was just talking to Leslie yesterday. I was having some issues viewing them. So was that something that was sent to us?
I believe we have. Wednesday, 3/11.
Okay. So as long as that's all been done and taken care of, but I know we had some questions about it, and the gentleman had come in also, right, for that meeting to talk about it.
Yep.
So, yeah. Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Kreider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
You're muted, Liz.
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve the assignment of rights and solar energy power purchase agreement between Kendall County Green Solar Field 01 LLC and Union Bank and Trust Company.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sesich. Any discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Judy?
Yes.
Is she affirming?
Is that a yes?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yeah.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve a contract with GC Electrical Maintenance in the amount of $19,550 for electrical and data improvements for the animal control facility.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sesich. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yeah.
All ayes. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve Public Safety Center panel replacement by the train company utilizing U.S. Communities Contract USC-15-JLP-023, cooperative quote number 301-0006-20001, not to exceed $62,100.
Second.
And that is slightly above what we had budgeted for that project. It's coming out of the Public Safety Capital Fund. There's thankful for the sheriff and KenCom. Will be far under budget on that fund as a total for the year. So that's the only difference.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Hesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. All eyes. Thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
PBZ, Matt Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of petition 1937, request from John Dolliger on behalf of Hansel Ridge LLC for an amendment to the future land use map in the land resource management plan by changing the classification of the northern 18.7 acres of 195 Route 52 in Seward Township from public institutional to commercial.
Motion by Prochaska.
Second.
Seconded by Sesich. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Yes. Keller?
Yes.
Audra?
I am unfamiliar with what this is that this gentleman is trying to do there, so I'm going to need more background than just the motion.
Sure. Matt Osselmeyer, do you want to address?
Or Matt, yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So starting on page 63 of the packet, the petitioner wants to rezone the northern portion of that property so that he can build an indoor athletic facility, and then on the northwest side, which is the next item on the agenda, and then he also wants to sell the northeastern port to do an indoor outdoor storage facility, which he's currently working with the village of Shorewood to try to get permitting done for that and getting the site plan done to meet their specifications and what they see for that site, which that's still under review. So this request would allow him to rezone the property for commercial purposes. And that's the reason for why he's asking for it.
Mr. Prochaska.
May I comment? It's Dan Kramer on the line.
Oh, Dan.
you guys have run a very efficient remote meeting. My only comment with Audra not being on that committee is we have been reviewed by Seward Township, all of the four recommending bodies up to the county board, including the PB&Z committee and the village of Shorewood on the mile and a half review. And we've received unanimous positive recommendations on the petition before you now and on the next one, the 2019-38 for the sports facility. You are not voting today on the storage facility. It's just the comp plan change on the motion that's up now, and then the next motion will be on the sports facility. And again, we have received unanimous approvals all the way through.
All right, any other comments on this?
Were there any citizens?
Sorry, one at a time. Audra?
Were there any citizen remarks about this? I'm so sorry. I don't have the packet in front of me, all 63 pages of it, so.
It's online.
We had no, again, Dan Kramer speaking. We had no formal objections whatsoever. We did have one citizen about a half mile away that attended the public hearing that said he would rather see no development of any kind, but realizes this is a better alternative than the original comp plan for Shorewood. He said he'd rather see the sports facility than 300 houses surrounding him. And no legal objections whatsoever, no written objections.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yeah, at our meeting, it was a unanimous decision to approve this. There was no public that spoke against it. The comp plans all made sense. There were very few questions, even from us, that weren't addressed very well. I think everybody was happy with it, so I have no problem with this.
I heard somebody else on the phone.
Yeah, this is Judy, Mr. Chairman. Just to be clear, this item number two, this is just for an amendment to the future land use map, correct? Not the rezoning?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments on this one? Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Another one.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yeah.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Present.
The vote is 9-0-1. Motion carries. Next up.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of petition 1938, a request from John Dollinger on behalf of Hansel Ridge, LLC, current owner, and Jason Shelley on behalf of GoPro, LLC, the prospective buyer, for an amendment rezoning the northern 9.19 acres of 195 Route 52 in Seward Township from A1 Agricultural to B4 Commercial Recreation District.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Kellogg. Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, this item is connected with the previous motion. This would allow the person to actually put up the indoor athletic facility on the property. The athletic facility will be on the back portion of the property. This had approval from ZPAC, Regional Plan Commission, ZBA, Seward Township Planning Commission, Seward Township, Village of Shorewood had no objections, Troy Fire Protection District had no objections, and the PBZ committee recommended approval unanimously.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this one?
Mr.
Kramer, do you want to add anything on this one?
Nope, there's a time for attorneys to be quiet.
Wow, we have that on the record.
Yeah.
The world has changed as we know it.
Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. That's good. All right, roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Present.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries 9-0-1.
Thank you all very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for being quiet.
Yeah. Surprise.
Take care.
All right, you too. All right, Highway Committee may have a motion to approve preliminary engineering services agreement between Kendall County and Camlin and Associates, Inc. in the amount of $16,832 preliminary engineering of the Lisbon Road drainage improvement. Said funds to be taken from the Transportation Sales Tax Fund.
Second.
I will make that motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Seconded by Sessage. Fran, your time. Are you, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
You can.
I'll answer any questions you might have.
Can you tell us what this is about?
Yes, this is a drainage improvement in Lisbon to improve the stormwater flow along the west side of the road and install sidewalks and reconnect sidewalks along Lisbon Road.
Any other questions for Fran on this item? Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All eyes, thank you. Looking to the back side of the sheet. I will make a motion to approve preliminary engineering services agreement between Kendall County and Willett Hoffman and Associates, Inc. in the amount of $43,200 for county bridge inspections for 2020 and 2021. Said funds to be taken from the county bridge fund.
So moved.
Motion second by Sessage.
You keep changing it up.
You got me confused last time.
I know.
This is just our engineering agreement so that we can inspect the bridges in the county. Some of you who've been here for a few years remember that Andy used to take care of this for us. Since he left, we have been contracting for it. So this will just be for this year's inspections. Any questions on that? Roll call.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yeah.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Ms. Hendricks?
She's present.
Present.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Audra here. Yes, yes. Yeah. I keep saying
Ms.
yes.
Ms. Hendricks is a yes. Thank you. All ayes. Motion carries. Next, may I have a motion, Ms. Sessage, for approval of a preliminary engineering services agreement between Kendall County and Engineering Enterprises in the amount of $147,980 for design of intersection improvements at Galena Road and Kennedy Road. Said funds to be taken from the transportation sales tax fund.
Second.
Motion second. By Kellogg, seconded by Flowers. this is a much discussed, long anticipated improvement for the Galena Road, Kennedy Road intersection. We went with Engineering Enterprises, or Fran recommended we use Engineering Enterprises because they are the village of, do they do Yorkville too, or just Montgomery? EEI has done Yorkville and Montgomery, and so they've done a significant amount of work on this area, so it just makes sense because they've already got the expertise on this to use them. And Fran, do you want to explain anything else about this, what's happening?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I also want to point out that EEI was the firm that did the Galena Road corridor study between Route 47 and Orchard Road. So they had a significant amount of information on this corridor already, so it was a perfect fit, really, for them to do this project.
Thank you. Any questions on this item? Roll call.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yeah.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you. Health and Environment, Judy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion for the approval of the Kendall County 2020-2025 Solid Waste Plan.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Sessage. Do you want to talk about it, Judy?
Yeah, just briefly, first of all, the plan has been approved by the Kendall County Health and Environment Committee and also by the Board of Health, and it's been reviewed by our committee, the whole. We've had a public hearing and also a 90-day public comment period, and I don't believe we had any comments from the public on that. I want to thank the advisory committee and also the health department for helping to put this plan together for the next 5 years.
Yes, I echo that. This was a good community effort. I know Todd, you were on that committee as well, and thanks for your service on that. And it was interesting. We got to see the waste transfer station over in Plano, among other things, and it's a good plan for the next 5 years. And Judy, thank you for your leadership as the chair of that committee too.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure to work with this group. It was a great group, and I think very helpful and meaningful conversations. Again, I want to thank all the committee members for their hard work.
Yeah. Thank you, Judy. You kind of cut out right there at the end, but we'll pass you gratitude along. That's okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
All ayes, the motion carries. Thank you. Special committee reports, the Kendall County 2020 Census Complete Count Commission. And I'm going to turn this over to Robin here in just a sec, but this is an opportunity. One of the things that the census has really been driving this year is online participation. And, you know, this was well before the coronavirus came to town. And so now more than ever, it is so important to complete this online and not, you know, get to the point where the census workers actually have to come to your door. And they'll do that after, I think there's going to be 6 mailings first to try to get you to comply online. And then they will have 7 different times that they will come to your door. So they're not going away. And, you know, if you see them, please be counted. And I know, Robin, you're going to talk about this. So how are the efforts? And you want to give us an update?
Sure. Obviously, our outreach efforts have come to a halt, but we do have our Facebook pages up where we will be posting videos regularly prepared by the Census Commission. So we just share them. I'm also going to make sure that we're posting, reminding people that the funding we receive to deal with disasters like this is based on, in part, on our population. So completing the census is even more important and more relevant now, I think. So please make sure you've followed the page and that you're sharing it to everyone that you can so that we can get people to participate. The things that have really been resonating with people as I've talked to them is telling them how much we lost out on in 2010 by being undercounted. The concern that we know we'll lose one representative in Congress, and we only have to be undercounted as a state by 50,000 to lose a second representative, which would have a big impact for us in this area because the district will spread out much farther and much larger. So it's definitely an impact here. We did at a couple of the busy polling places yesterday, as crazy as this sounds, we actually had census tables at the Montgomery branch of the Oswego Library. There's about 3,000 registered voters there that vote through there. And we had some of our materials out, flyers explaining what it is and, you know, the tchotchkes to remind people to vote. And it was a huge success. So it's a matter of now us figuring out ways to expand on that when we can't be in public to remind people to do this. One idea we're working on is we're currently, I've started a group that's helping deliver lunches to families that the school district is providing. So I'm working with the school district and hoping that we can send a flyer home with every single lunch that parents pick up that tells them about the census, that they should have received their notice in the mail to fill it out because it helps funding to pay for programs like that. So we're trying to get creative on ways we're going to reach people. And I haven't started checking the heat map. We can start seeing soon how many people have responded in areas. So I just haven't started checking. But now that I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands at home, I will be doing that regularly and start prompting people to respond as well. If you haven't, it's super fast and easy to do and online. I know we have concerns about seniors not wanting to do it online. So there is a phone-in option, and we really just need to stress. We need to do it one of those two ways so we don't have to have people out in the community knocking on doors. Any Great. Questions?
And we are going to work on a press release to get that information you just said in a synthesized form and push it out to the public as well, Robin?
Sure, yeah.
We'll do that in the, I don't, you know, next week or so.
Okay, sure.
Go ahead, Liz.
I have a question. You may have said, but I didn't quite hear it. When is the deadline for the census?
You have until the census, official census day is April 1st. You have until April 30th to complete it online or on the phone. And then after that, they will do one or two mailings to people who haven't responded with an actual paper form to return. And then from there, starting in mid-May, I believe it will be the door knockers.
Right. And I think July 31st is the outside date.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has to be reported to the president in December.
Okay, thank you very much.
Go ahead. Was there another question? Okay, thank you. Audra, Northwest Water Planning Alliance.
Well, I was hoping to do a much more complete report than I'm going to do, but I will do that and I'll email it out to the board. But the gist of it is that there's now the capability through the EPA for us to, not for us, but the EPA as a whole in the state of Illinois, to actually do water saving certified training for builders. And for example, appliance installers, they are working on doing water saving certified appliances as well, much like you see for any Energy Star. And that's a really big push and a big accomplishment, not least of which, and here's why we're starting to see that big push, and we need to work on this in Kendall County. So I'll reiterate these reasons and why the big push and that we can do this at minimal cost to us. But the concern now is that as communities are expanding their water supply, either from local rivers and repositories or by bringing in water from Lake Michigan, for example, for Illinois, and communities push to do that, the costs to do that are hundreds of millions of dollars. And so one of the ways that we can save on those costs is by not needing to move as much water as we otherwise would. So some of these saving water pushes by using better appliances and just being more aware of our own water usage and checking our lawn watering equipment to make sure that it's watering at the best time of day, not being evaporated in the midday sun, and also not spraying on anything except for stuff we want to water, is because we need to drastically reduce the volume of water that we need so that the infrastructure that we build to increase our water supply costs less. And that's actually a really burdensome problem, is the cost of doing that. And while we might be winning infrastructure awards, this is going to be a multi-community effort that has to do that. And so it's important that we start now letting the community know that we need to engage in some much tougher water conservation at our own homes and businesses, and that soon we'll be able to have builders who are water conservation certified, and we could maybe seek to incentivize those here in the county if we wanted to. That's it. Thanks, for the Audra. Water
lines. Amy, did you have an update on VAC?
Yeah, I was trying to get your attention earlier, so sorry I'm waving you down. We just got an email from VAC talking about the Voluntary Action Center has made several key changes as the COVID-19 health situation has developed in recent days. Currently, transit services will continue to operate during normal business hours. We do ask, though, if you don't need to leave your homes during this time, please stay home for your health and others. We understand everyone's frustrations during these uncertain days, and we want to assist as many people as we can. They also give their phone number and things like that. So I just wanted to kind of get that out there in case, you know, obviously they're still providing the service, but if it is not essential and imperative, they would ask that people at least delay those moving around.
If you have to have your dialysis still,
they're still providing that transit service. So. Just wanted to.
Thank you. When you said VAC, I was thinking Veterans Assistance Commission, and I didn't find that email.
Sorry.
But you're good. Other business.
Chairman, I have other business.
Go ahead. Audra.
We were talking about the food pantry earlier, and I just want to preface this remark by saying there are no issues right now. The food pantry is up and running. It is, of course, getting more applications in. I have been talking with the chairman of the board over there about their demand. He recently emailed me, and the reason I wanted to bring this up is so that the board is aware and the press can be made aware that the county board will be doing everything we can to ensure that the food supplies at the food pantry continues, including funding that we are allowed to extend to them because of the emergency and disaster declaration orders. But I just wanted to read the most recent email for them so that everyone here can communicate why we're doing this, and to reiterate that the food pantry is no longer under the same management and people do not need to feel concerned about making donations to them anymore. And I would encourage the community If they have even just an extra $5 or $10, when you add it all up, it really helps. But this is the situation as of almost 24 hours ago. Mr. Witek emailed me to say, I apologize for the delay. To say that we are stretched would be an understatement. And here he is talking about personnel, not about supplies. When you and I talked on the phone, we were only predicting there would be a spike in needs expressed from the county's residents. But those concerns have been realized. The pace of new client calls is dozens already. I won't read it all to you because it's kind of boring, but all the data from the other pantries say that this is going to increase. We've anticipated this. I don't want anybody to feel weird. Scott and I have been talking about it. We have anticipated it, and we already have plans in place to deal with this, but I wanted everybody to know so that the information is out there. As the word spreads that they've figured out a way to get a full shopping cart of pre-selected groceries to residents in a drive-through operation, they're expecting to actually need additional help in the coming weeks. So they're running full tilt. The federal and state channels have assured them that there is sufficient stock, but it's purchased food. And I don't know if everybody's aware of this, that food pantries do actually have to purchase food too. Many of you might be aware that every dollar that you donate is the equivalent of giving $8 worth of purchasing power. So I asked them to work up a plan, and they have proposed a food order that they estimate will cover two Thursday distributions at about $6,500. So when he and I had talked, we thought that there might be a need for an additional $20,000 to go to them to cover roughly 7 to 8 Thursdays. So that would be about 2 months at about 300 families on average. It would be the low 200s in the early weeks and rising to the high 300s in the later weeks as word spreads. And he has reiterated to me that our board's support of the pantry in these times makes all the difference. So I just wanted to make you all aware that Chairman Greider and I have talked about this. We are on top of it. We are prepared to help the food pantry meet its needs out of the Economic Development Revolving Loan Fund or some other such funds. But to please reassure the community that we are on it and we are prepared to help the food pantry meet all the demand that they're going to have in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Otter. Scott?
I just wanted to mention that and thank everybody for helping out with the remote meeting. We had a lot of help to pull this together yesterday. If you have any comments or questions about how it went, please email myself and or Matt Kinsey so that if we do end up having to do this at the beginning of April, that we can do it better than we did today. Although I think it's gone pretty well and everybody's been able to be heard and we've got a lot of information shared. So thank you very much and we'll do our best to keep getting better.
Well, you stole my thunder. I was going to mention that under Chairman's report. But Audra, you, whatever you're using takes the cake, I think. Your voice sounds strongest those that are on the phone. And I can't say enough about...
Is that a polite way of telling me to shut up?
No comment.
It is.
No.
Okay, fine.
I didn't use the mute button. They taught me that I could use it. We could use the mute button and I didn't end up having to use it. Matt muted himself.
I can tip you off if you really want to know.
Hit the mute button. I can't say enough about the work that Matt Kinsey and Scott Keppel have done over the last few days. I've been with Scott. I've probably had at least 40 hours since Saturday that I had put in, if not more. Scott has done more than that. He was with me all day on Saturday. He's on answers the phone. He's, every time of day. I talked to him at 9 o'clock last night. And so apologies to your wife for the interruptions. But it's been it's really helpful. And I'm grateful for your hard work and Matt for making this happen on short notice. We started yesterday morning and I thought it was going to be a quick popover. And then we had our first meeting and then Leslie joined us in the afternoon and Amy as well. Tony Giles called in to make sure the call-in could work. And then everybody I know, I should mention Mira as well upstairs, Mira Johnson, she will tell you she is not tech savvy. She's told me several times in the last day that she is not, but she did a great job of trying to get everybody up to speed to make this happen. And, at one point, I noticed we had 24 call-ins. I don't know if there were even more at some point, but there are at least 24 call-ins. There's 13 people in this room. So almost 40 people for a county board member meeting is actually a really good turnout. You know, this has worked pretty well. We'll see if the tape comes through. I know that the recording it should be okay. We tested that out yesterday and worked well. As well. So, you know, thank you for this, but Scott, thank you for beyond this. You know, you have been coordinating and working with all of our elected officials, your department heads on a constant basis. And you know, I'm grateful for that. I also want to thank all of our countywides and department heads. You know, Judge Pilmer, you know, I was in a lot of contact with him over the weekend with his efforts over at the courthouse. Debbie, I'm just amazed that you were able to pull off the election the way that you did with the, you know, all of the hysteria at this point with the virus. Jill, Fran, Andy, Eric, Dwight, Amal, I can't say enough about all of them. I've talked to them more in the last 3 days and probably the last last month. It's been a significant uptick in the conversations, and so thank you, and thank you, Leslie, for you and your team, you know, getting on as these things are coming down from the state. We are having to figure out what it means, and you guys are been helpful right away, because we want to make sure that we're not getting ourselves into some kind of issue as well, or misinterpreting what the governor is saying. So there's just a lot of information to find around, so thanks for slicing through that for us too. So that's the big thing. Beyond that, I just want to tell everybody, wash your hands, social distance, and if you're sick, stay home. So with that, public comment.
Scott, I know you had a full plate, and I want to thank you for addressing my concerns straight out of the box. I think you skipped the
consent agenda. Say your name as well.
You skipped the consent agenda?
No, we voted on it.
Okay, I missed that, I'm sorry. In the health department.
Todd Miller for the record.
You might want to put in there, I didn't hear anybody talk about blocking and tackling, where they might be doing some trace contacting and that type of thing. So that might be something that might want to be put in there, so if somebody knocks on your door, you know why they're there. On the census, I don't know, the federal government's talking about giving us all a check for $1,000 to get us through this. It might be helpful, I don't know, running up the food chain, the government, that $1,000 might be contingent upon you filling out your census report. You might get a little more compliance, but people want their money. Just an idea.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
That's good. Questions for the press?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any need for executive session? All right, ma'am, motion to adjourn. Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Sesich. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thanks, everybody. Stay tuned for the...